בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Matthew chapter 25, you want to go ahead and get ahead of the game here. We're continuing in the series that we started. I don't usually do series, but we're doing a series right now. It's going to go on for a little bit. We're continuing the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Rabbi Robert Solomon. And the series, again, is called The Wisdom of Solomon. Okay. So hopefully you are blessed by it. I tell you what, I've been blessed so much throughout my life as I recall the many sayings of Rabbi Robert, and all of them have such deep spiritual truths that I want to share with you because they impacted my life. Today's message definitely impacted my life, but I'll tell you straightforwardly right from the beginning is that it challenged me. This when Rabbi E talked about this, it was challenging. So get ready. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says this. Messiah is speaking here, and he's giving a parable, it's regarding the kingdom of God, really. It says this in verse 14, Matthew 25, 14. For it is like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and handed over his possessions to them. Okay, he was going to be away for a while. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2, and to another, 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went on his journey. Verse 16, immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. All right, big profit on that. In the same way, the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Okay. So we see the picture that's going on here. And remember that a talent was a measurement of money, basically. And a talent was around the equivalent of 15 years' wages. It was a significant amount of money. So this wasn't like $1.50. Okay, this was a lot. And so each talent was indeed worth a lot of money. So we see here that the servants who were given 2 and who were given 5 talents did something with those talents and made a profit. While the servant given 1 merely buried it in the ground. So what happened? Well, you know the story. We're going to read about it here. The man returned, and each servant gave an account of what happened while the man was gone as to what the servant did with the talents that had been given to them to watch over. Well, the 2 servants who had made a profit made the man very happy. He was real pleased with them. The one who had gained 2 more than he started with, and the one who gained 5 more than he started with, the man was very happy about it. In fact, the man told the servants, and by the way, this should be a familiar phrase to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That should be familiar to you, Huh? There's a lot of depth in this message. As a side note, it reminds me a little bit of the Chavara teaching this coming Tuesday. It's a real intricate one and deep one. I hope it blesses you. Okay, well done. Multiple meanings to things is what it's going to be talking about this Tuesday. Well, there was a multiple meaning in what this parable is talking about here. So the man who returned to these two servants said, well done, good and faithful servant. But what about the servant who had the one talent, but he just buried it in the ground and gave it back to him, just the one talent that he started with? Well, let's read about that. Let's read from the book of grace, the new covenant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. Then the one who had received one talent also came up and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you don't sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Verse 26, but his master responded, check it out. You wicked, lazy servant. Phew. You knew that I reap where I don't sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you should have brought my money to the brokers. And when I came, I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw the worthless servant out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoo! Man, y'all. I get chills when I read that. That's fear of God kind of stuff right there. That's intense. That's frightening. That's austere. It's weighty. You know that if Yeshua's talking like this, he's trying to communicate something dead serious. Probably something that maybe we ought to pay attention to, right? See, yes, in this parable, the talents are referring, by the way, you can pull up the screen. Thank you, Carolyn. The talents are referring specifically to money, no question. But really, it's symbolic of anything that God gives you. By the way, including literal talent. It's interesting because I love the translation that it says talents. Because it's a little bit more relatable in many ways, because God gives us so many different things, strengths, giftings, personality traits, intelligence, talents, money. There's lots of things he gives us. And the parable is talking about all of the above, really. Note here that the servant had a reason why he buried the single talent. He had a reason. He said, I know you are a hard man reaping where you didn't sow. So I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. I want you to check that out, brothers and sisters. You know what that was? Do you know what else? Another word I would use to call that which he just shared. Here it is. An excuse. That was an excuse. As to why he didn't do it. So the two talent, the five talent people, they did their thing. The one talent guy, he's like, yeah, okay. Boop, I'm sticking in the ground. And then the man comes back and he's like, what happened? And he, oh, well, this, that, and the other. You know, I was afraid. And but the other guys were doing that stuff. Come on, man. Excuses. But the person who had given him the talent, what did he say? Did he take the excuse? Did he say, oh, well, that's a good point. Well, I hear what you're saying. Well, okay, well, maybe there's some veracity in that. No, brothers and sisters. And of course, the man represents God. What does he say to the man who buried the talent in the ground and just did nothing with it? Here's what he said to the man. You wicked, lazy servants. Whew. Golly, man, if that doesn't give you a little bit of chills or a little bit of pause or a little bit of the fear of the Lord, then you're not listening very carefully. To me, that's, oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Let that not be said about me. Think about it for just a minute. How hard do you think it was to double 5 talents? Not easy. To double the 2 talents the other guys had. How easy do you think that was? It wasn't. It was not easy. It was surely very hard. They had to do a lot of work. We got some people in here who know finance. We're talking about doubling the investments in a relatively short. That's not easy, is it? That's tough. I mean, you don't have to be an expert to know that, man, that's a good rate of return. You had to have worked your keisters off to be able to get that to double. You put in the effort. But here's this guy with 1 talent, and he doesn't even make the effort even to make interest on the talent. This is what the person says when he comes back, is that you far from even doubling it, you could have at least gotten interest on the 1 talent. Just put it in the bank. I know they're paying low interest, but low interest is better than no interest. Didn't even make any effort. He made no effort. So what is he called? he doesn't beat around the bush. Wicked, lazy servant. Wicked, lazy. Very interesting. The bottom line was that the servant did not want to make the effort necessary to honor the investment that was made into him. I want to say it again. The servant did not make the effort necessary, did not want to make the effort necessary to honor the investment that was made in him. And so Yeshua says, throw the worthless servant out. Throw him out. That's how good he is. Throw him out. My father taught me many years ago something that stuck with me. Absolutely stuck with me like glue. And here's the quote from Rabbi Robert. Folks make excuses all the time. People do what they want to do. You heard him say that, didn't you, Bruce? Cindy, you heard him say that. Lise, you heard him say that. People do what they want to do. So true. Excuses, 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 excuses. People do what they want to do. That includes you and me. Remember here that the servant lost the opportunity to multiply what was given to him and share in the blessings. He missed out on a blessing because he did not do what he was supposed to do. I can't tell you how often in all my years as rabbi and in the years when I was in the rabbi's home, I can't tell you how many times I've heard excuses about why people don't seek to multiply the investment that God placed into them. All the time, excuses. Goodness, I've heard every excuse in the book. I spoke a couple weeks ago about how my parents were built different. That was the message. Because I tell you what, friends, they could have given about 1,000 excuses as to why not to sacrifice to build Beth Hillel. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I lived in that home. They could have given 1,000 excuses as to why not to sacrifice, because that's what it took, to build this place that we're in, that you're all sitting in and the Lord has blessed us with. But if they had made excuses, friends, none of us would be here today. None of us would be here today. Want to make a difference in life? Try tossing the excuses. Someone say amen. One person, please say amen. Everybody's like, oh boy, I don't want to get in the way of this truck that's going down that is the highway. I hear you, man. I hear you. And ushers, I see some people a little bit chilly, maybe 1 degree warmer. Luke chapter 14, please. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Someone else said, I'm kind of hot. Okay, I understand. It's a Jewish place. You understand. Moses dealt with this. Luke chapter 14, Vavakasha. Listen to this story. Talking very specifically about the kingdom of God. Wow. Listen about this banquet that this certain man hosts. Whew. Luke 14, verse 16, but Yeshua said to him, a certain man was hosting a large banquet, and he invited many. So many people got the invitation to the banquet that the man was hosting. At the time for the banquet, he sent his slave to tell those who had been invited, come, everything is already prepared. Come on. I invited you to the banquet. It's ready for you. Come on. 18, but every one of them began to beg off. The first said to him, oh, I bought a farm and I'm obligated to go out and to see it. I'm asking you to have me excused. Then another one said, oh, I've purchased 5 teams of oxen and I'm going to check them out. I'm asking to have me excused. Still another said, oh, I'm married with a wife, so I cannot come. The slave came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house got angry. You know who the master of the house is. And he said to his slave, quickly go out into the squares and the alleys of the city and bring here the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And the slave said, master, I've done as you instructed. There is still room. So the master said to the slave, go out into the thoroughfares and fenced areas and press them to come in so my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my banquet. Gives me chills too with the fear of the Lord. Oh, Lord, let me come when you call me, Lord. Now, Yeshua here is talking about inheriting the kingdom of God. So how much more so if the stakes are smaller blessings? The bottom line is that God does not force people. God does not force people into receiving a blessing. Or God does not force people into doing his will. He gives us a choice. He gives you a choice. You watching online, listening in the podcast, he gives you a choice as to what you do. He gives us all a choice. He doesn't force us to receive a blessing. He has a banquet ready. And those people invited didn't show. And he's like, uh-uh. And he was angry. We have a choice. Some of you who have been really happy that I'm back may not be happy in just a minute here. Get ready. Just put tuck your shoes under the pews. But I say it in love. I have a smiley face I put in my notes, okay? Rabbi Robert, I remember. Some of you here remember. Rabbi Robert used to recount excuses that people gave for not coming to services regularly. Oh, it's too far. It's too far. Remember to talk about that? Oh, it's too far. Yet we have some people who come every Shabbat from 80 to 90 minutes away. Is that inconvenient to come from 80 to 90 minutes away? Yes, it's inconvenient. Yes, it surely is inconvenient. But guess what? People do what they want to do. If they want to come to God's house, they're going to come to God's house. If they don't want to come to God's house, they'll find a reason not to. Excuses. People do what they want to do, good or bad. People do what they want to do. They'll make it work if they want to. If you want to serve God and give Him your best, you will. If you don't, you won't. Well, I can't help usher. I'm just not good at it. Oh, okay. I can't help with the kids, so it's a big commitment. Oh, okay. I can't tithe. My budget's a bit tight. Oh, okay. I'd like to help mom with the dishes, but I have too much homework. Oh, okay. I can't help you move. My elbow's been giving me some issues. Oh, okay. I don't want to visit somebody in the hospital. I'm just not good at that. Oh, okay. I don't feel up to inviting that person to dinner at my home. I'm tired. I just need a little me time. Oh, okay. I'm going to choose not to share Yeshua with this person in the bank right now because we're in the bank. They might think I'm weird. Oh, okay. Listen to the words of Yeshua. You wicked, lazy servants. Why are you burying your talent? My God, what Yeshua did for you and I. You were bought with a price, beloved. He died the most brutal of deaths because He loves us so much. He died for all of us. But I'm speaking specifically to you believers here. Where is your passion? I have to tell you that unlike lots of milquetoast Christian music, I love the many songs of Keith Green. I know my drummer does, and worship leader, that dude, he and I are passionate about Keith Green music. This whole message is up your alley, Mark. One of Keith Green's songs is called Asleep in the Light. You know it by heart. Asleep in the Light. If you're watching online or if you're listening on the podcast, pause me for a second, pull it up and listen to it. Asleep in the Light by Keith Green. He's talking about believers here. And let me give you some of the lyrics. I'm telling you, you need to listen to the whole song. It's just absolutely potent. But listen to some of the lyrics in that song, talking about believers. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches. No one hurts. No one even sheds one tear. But He cries. He weeps. He bleeds. And He cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such a sin? 'Cause He brings people to your door. And you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace. And all heaven just weeps because Yeshua came to your door and you've left Him out on the streets. It's a pretty intense song, as you get the idea. I highly recommend it. I didn't even go over the most intense parts. Beloved, people do what they want to do. Some of you may say, well, that's a bit too intense message. I don't know if this place is for me. It's fine. Don't come. People do what they want to do. You don't want to hear the truth? You'll find some place that'll give you milk toast and just give you a feel-good message every single week. And you'll walk out just as shallow as when you walked in. Wow, I'm back in gear, aren't I? I'm back in gear now. Some of you are like, okay, he's clearly back. All right. if you want to serve God, friends, you will. If you want to serve your brothers and sisters, you will. If you don't, you will find an excuse as to why not to. Please excuse me, but I have other things that need my attention. Oh, okay. Okay. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. God does know that we make excuses. And if in the end we are willing to stand up and be counted, he's got our backs. He's got our backs, and we'll be blessed if we kind of push ourselves, even though we start off with some excuses at times. I want you to listen to the excuses given by this guy that God asked to do something. God asked this guy to do something, and I want you to listen for just a minute at the slew of excuses that this guy gives. Exodus chapter 3. Some of you already know who I'm talking about. Get ready. Listen to all excuses that this dude's going to come up with when God asks him to do something. Exodus 3, I'm going to skip around. I'm going to go different verses. Listen to the excuses. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring back the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm nobody. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I say to them? Chapter 4. Verse 1, then Moses said, but look, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. They will say, Adonai has not appeared to you. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, Moses said to Adonai, chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to Adonai, I'm not a man of words, not yesterday, nor the day before, nor since you've spoken to your servant, because I have a slow mouth and a heavy tongue. Finally, verse 13, but he, being Moses, said, please, please send it by another hand. Wow. Now I have to chuckle a little bit because, man, oh, man, a Shevitz, man. Moses was coming up with every excuse in the book. This is the great Moses. It's going to take you 275 years to meet the guy in heaven. There's going to be such a line. Some of you had to think about that for a minute. Well, finally, we're going to get to meet the guy. Moses, I've been waiting 275 years to meet you. Yeah. That's nice to meet you, too. My hand's a little sore from shaking hands. All right, Moses, all right. Moses, every excuse. He seemed not to be especially moved that a burning bush was speaking to him. Well, and I'll say this, God was merciful, but he was not happy with him. In fact, verse 14 says that God was angry with him. The anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. By verse 14 of chapter 4, he had had enough. God had enough excuses, enough. And it was like, okay, time to put up or shut up, Moses. I've answered your excuses. What are you going to do, Bubba? Very deep in the Hebrew, very deep. Only Bruce Tainowitz would understand the Hebrew on that one. And as a side note, Moses' excuses did cost him something. It cost him the blessing of being God's singular mouthpiece to Pharaoh. Best you believe that God would have spoken through Moses without Aaron if Moses had just been willing. Okay. That said, God's patience with us is remarkable. And even if we've blown it in the past and have been the king of excuses or the queen of excuses, the axiom does hit the other way also. people do what they want to do. So the question then becomes, what kind of heart do you have that leads to what do you want to do? If you're a member here, you know I look at people like the Gads back there, and you know what they want to do, don't you? How many of you think that you go up to that couple and ask them for almost anything, they're going to say yes? They want to help, right? They want to be a blessing. There's a reason they're leaders here. They want to, people do what they want to do. They want to. They want to be a blessing. They care. They love. They're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to go out of their way. And if your heart is turned so that you desire to please the Lord and to do what he wants for you to do, then you will do it with exceedingly great blessings. Because let me tell you, even though it's hard sometimes, man, they do things that are inconvenient. I bet if you ask them at the end of the day, they feel blessed for helping people and for blessing other people. I hear people in the hospital say, Edith popped in on me in the hospital. I was like, what? I'm telling you, these people are willing to bless people. They're receiving blessings for it. And man, in heaven, expect for them to have a pretty nice place. That's my guess. See, this is what happened to Moses, as you know well. Moses eventually said, okay, God, I get it. All my insecurities. Moses was an insecure guy. Okay, God, I get it with all my insecurities and the fact that I really don't want to do this. Oh, okay, I'm going to do it. I get that it was a burning bush talking to him, but you're talking about this guy going back into the most to shake his fist toward the most powerful man in the world who could cut off his head. That's not easy to do, friends. Don't be too judgmental of Moses. He wasn't being asked to hold the Shabbat dinner. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it. You know, this wasn't some small thing he was being asked to do. Without God's intervention, he was asked to give his life. Going into Pharaoh's presence and shaking his fist in Pharaoh's face. Holy moly, are you kidding me? I don't think any of us would have been pretty anxious for that either. But Moses finally, even after that, his excuses, he's like, okay, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. And friends, you know the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. In case you did not know how it turned out for Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Let's read this tiny little clip, Deuteronomy 34. Let's read this tiny little clip about what it says about Moses. See how it turned out for this good Jewish boy. Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, there has not risen again a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom Adonai knew face to face. With all the signs and wonders Adonai sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, all his servants, and all his land, by the strong hand and great awe that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Wow. Oh, wow. Woo, Moses. Never has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses. Woo. He got over it. He got over it. He pushed through. And God was with him. Do you hear that, beloved? When it comes to doing things that are out of your comfort zone or that require sacrifice from you, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to, but I think I should. There's something inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit, who's telling you, oh, yes, just get out of your comfort zone. Come on, get out of the boat a little bit there. You'll be blessed for it. Moses was great, not because he didn't start out making excuses. Moses was great because at the end of the day, Moses wanted to serve God, and that caused him to overcome his own selfishness, pride, and any excuses. See, God will help you overcome your excuses or insecurities. And we see it all through the scripture. Jeremiah thought he was too young, but God told him, don't worry about your age. Gideon said, I'm the least in my family and my clan, the least in Israel. God said, I will be with you, Gideon. See, they were both powerfully used by God, just like Moses. The point here is that if we take a step of faith and move out of our comfort zone to follow the leading of the Lord, indeed, God will help you and he will be with you. And he will bless you. He will bless you. My dad said, people do what they want to do. I agree. So don't bury your talent in the ground. Purpose in your heart to want to do whatever it is that God wants for you to do. The title of my message is, Excuse Me. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If you've never received Messiah into your heart, how about today? If you've never committed your life to the Lord, but you want to, wherever you are, lift your hand and we'll pray together. If that's you, if you've never said that prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to. Maybe you're watching online or listening to the podcast, and that's you. If so, repeat this simple prayer after me. God will change you. Say, Dear God, I humbly come before you, and I ask Yeshua to come into my heart, believing he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. If you're here or if you're watching online, and maybe you've made lots of excuses as to why you didn't want to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, don't do it. Don't let the thing stop you. Don't make excuses. People do what they want to do. Well, yeah, but what would my friends think? What would my family think? What matters is what would God think? Is it true or not? That's the question. That's really the question. And if you know in your heart, or if you believe in your heart, God will change you. God, I pray for each and every person who's here today and watching. I pray, Lord, that we, Lord, as the axiom is true, that people do what they want to do. So God, I'm asking humbly for you to transform our wants. Let our wants become your wants. It's really another way of saying, not my will, but yours be done, right? You get that. Lord, help our wants become your wants. That which in which we want should be that which you want for us. Lord, help our wants be aligned with what you want in our lives. And then we will do what you want for us to do. Because then we'll be doing what we want to do. So God, I pray, Lord, that we get past our flesh, get past ourselves, get past our excuses, and seek to serve you in your kingdom because the day is short. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for a congregation that loves you and that's willing to hear a challenging message that challenged me too. Thank you, God, for this. We bless you for it. And we ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Be blessed this week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.